If you would, let's open up our Bibles this morning to Timothy chapter 6.
First or second?
Somebody's... First Timothy, I'm sorry. First Timothy chapter 6. We'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for another opportunity to be in the house of God. We're thankful for your faithfulness to us, Heavenly Father. Lord, we even sang a song and talking about your unchanging position, dear Lord. You're faithful today, tomorrow, yesterday. You're the same. Dear Lord, there won't be a change, Heavenly Father. Regardless of how the world changes and how they may say climate changes and all the things that may change, dear Lord, you will not change. Your word says that your word is forever settled in heaven. Earth and heaven may pass away, but your word will not pass. So, Lord, we're thankful for that stability in your word, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful that we can read it today and we can have it in our hearts and our minds. And, dear Heavenly Father, we don't have to relearn it in 10 years. That, dear Lord, you'll be the same, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we open up the Word of God this morning. We ask you to be with each and every one. You see the thoughts that I have here this morning. We ask you to help me to present it as you revealed it to me, dear Heavenly Father, and we'll certainly thank you for that. Anoint the Word, anoint me, that I'll bring it as you would have me to. In Jesus' name, amen. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's pick up in verse 7 here. He says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That they be, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in their destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." I want to take my thought this morning out of verse 11. I'll reread it again. And he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience." Now we came from verse 7 to down to verse 10, and it talks about some things of the world. And he says, kind of getting us some understanding about just the general life of people. Verse 7 there, he says, "We brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." And he says, "We have food and raiment, and let us be content with those things." And he says many people have a desire for financial gain and the riches of the world, and all these things have problems. The love of money in verse 10, root of all evil, and people covet after things. And he just says some basic things. And when we think about this, Paul is telling Timothy here, as we read to you in verse 11 here, he goes to follow after something other than these things. And he says, follow after righteousness. And that's what I want to look at a little bit this morning. And we know that in our lives, if we want to have a desire to obtain something, whatever it may be, there's a path an order we have to do to obtain that. You want to buy a house, you want to buy a car, you want to purchase something, there's a process that we have to take. We don't just walk up to a house and see it has a for sale sign and say, "Hey, I like it," and walk in and this is my house. There's a process. You know, we have to find a realtor and we have to be approved and all those things. And a car, you'll go to a car dealership or whatever it is in life. You want to have a degree in college or certain classes and colleges you have to go through to obtain what you desire to have. Our desire as saints, and he says here in verse 11 there, "O man of God," recognizing saints, children of God, people that have a desire to want to make heaven. And he says here, of course, Paul is speaking to Timothy here. He says, "O man of God, flee these things," which is what we talked about in verse 7 through 10. You know, the love of money, the cares of the world, all these things here, covet and those things. But he says, flee these things and follow after righteousness. I want to make heaven my home. Yes, several have testified about that this morning. Amen. There's a process that we have to do to make heaven our home. Yes. We have to live righteous. We have to live holy. Amen. Before God. We have to live, as he goes on, righteousness, godliness. We have to live these ways to have a desire. And he says there, live righteous, godliness, faith, love, patience. Lord gave me this thought some weeks ago, and I pondered it. I wrote different verses and thoughts down, and I just struggled with it for a while because I wasn't sure exactly how to present the message or how to really carry it on through a whole time of the message. But the Lord gave me this particular thought, and the title of my message for this morning is Righteousness Will Prevail. And I want you to understand what I mean as the Lord that gave me that thought. Righteousness, and we'll get into it a little bit later. We look out there in the world, there's not much righteousness. There's no holiness in one sense in a whole or in a majority of it. There's no holiness, there's no righteousness. And what we look at, when we look at it with these natural eyes, it looks like the unrighteousness is prevailing. But I want to let you know, and God gave me this thought, righteousness will prevail. Period. It will prevail. There may be the world out there and say, no, it's not going to prevail. Things are going worse and worse and worse. It's not. But righteousness, God says righteousness will prevail. The word prevail means to prove more powerful than the opposing force to be victorious. To prove more powerful than the opposing force to be victorious. God will prevail. He is powerful. He is greater than the opposing force, which is the enemy of the soul and the love of the things of this world. He is more powerful, and his righteousness will prevail over the world. Living righteousness as saints of God, it'll pay off one day. And if you've been saved and you've been living for the Lord any amount of time, you know that sometimes, and the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. We get weary. We get tired. We get tired sometimes of just seemingly just doing right. And it seems like this one's doing unrighteous, this one's doing wicked, that one's doing wrong, and it seems like they're getting away with it. God says they're not getting away with it. Righteousness will prevail. I remember my cousin said something many, many, many years ago. His parents had passed away. And he was angry with God because of it. Because he says all the wicked people in the world, all the people that are doing bad, and he says he took my mom and dad. They died of basically some natural causes, so to speak. I won't say natural, things that they did through smoking and things, but they didn't get killed or anything like that. But they died. They lived a good life in many years. But he said, but he was angry with God. He says, why did God take my parents? Sometimes it seems like through the outward eye, through the physical eye, things aren't fair today. But God says righteousness will prevail. And that right, that word, now to keep that thought, we're going to bring that throughout the end of the message here. Prevail means to prove more powerful than the opposing force. I want us to keep that remembrance in our mind this morning. He says righteousness and godliness follow after these things. So Paul is trying to instruct Timothy here. He says there's some things you need to follow after. And I ask you this morning, are you following after righteousness? Are you following after godliness? But mainly I want to use the word righteous this morning. Are you following after righteousness to make heaven your home? Because in the end, it will prevail. And sometimes there have been many people that have gotten saved, have started on this pathway to heaven, have gotten discouraged because it seems to be unrighteousness is prevailing more than righteousness, and they get discouraged and they fall away. But one day, that righteousness will prevail. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be this year, but in one time, God will come to an end to bring righteousness to prevail. Amen. There is an opposing force that we face today. the battle is righteousness. And Brother Barber has a track, the Battle of Armageddon. And we see that word Armageddon back in Revelation. And a lot of people have an understanding thinking that that Battle of Armageddon is two things. They think it's a natural thing. It's going to be a reality of a natural battle. It's not has anything to do with physical battles or physical wars. They think it's somewhere in the future that there's going to be a physical warfare. And I always used to think when people would say that, that it's going to be a physical warfare against God and the enemy. Do you really think God has to have any warfare against the enemy? He can do that and the enemy be gone. The Bible already says that God has created hell for the purpose of the devil and his angels. He's already got a destination. The battle of Armageddon is a spiritual battle. It has been going on since the very time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It is going on today. It is a battle, as brother, I quoted it from Brother Barber's tract I have back here. It is a battle between righteousness and unrighteousness. It's a battle. And we face it every single day today. There is a battle that we face with righteousness. No matter how evil things appear, no matter how much people justify themselves. Sometimes I write thoughts and I say them and I'm thinking, Lord, help me to get them to you to understand. We look out there in the world as saints of God, and there again, sometimes it seems that righteousness is availing. But no matter how much our unrighteousness, I mean, it seems like unrighteousness is available. No matter how much evil or how much unrighteousness seems to be appearing out there, or no matter how much people justify themselves, the Bible lets us know there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And to be lived righteous, holy, that's how to make heaven. Godliness, as he said these things here in verse 11. Faith, love, patience, these things also. That's the only way to make heaven a home. But there are many, many, many people that you and I face, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers. There are many people, they have their idea of how they're going to make heaven, and it doesn't go along with the Word of God. And Jesus even told them and them back in his time when he walked this earth, he says, they're as thieves and robbers trying to come up another way. But it seems like, and I face it many a times, and of course, many times people that know that I'm a minister or a pastor, they'll tell me some things. Well, I'm going to heaven because of whatever. I'm going to heaven because I'm doing this. I'm going to heaven because I believe in this particular way. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. But see, we face that all the time. So when I say righteousness shall prevail, all these things are false faiths. As Sister Ann talked about on Wednesday night, they're on a false foundation. They're on a foundation that's going to fade away when the storms come. I heard this on the news the other day, and I looked it up this morning because I didn't remember all the numbers of it. But since they've passed the law to have recreational marijuana be sold legally, in the month of July, $87.4 million in sales were made in Maryland. In the month of July, has doubled since June. And in my mind, when I heard this, when I heard the law was going to pass, and all these places are going up, and if you ride down the road and pass any of the places, saints, there are lines around the building, and I'm not exaggerating, there are lines out the doors of these buildings. And I thought when I heard that, no, don't do that. That is destruction to mankind. The rate is up for people dying of alcohol and marijuana mixed together. Young people, middle-aged people, automobile accidents, those are all up. So in my mind, when I think about that, unrighteousness and how it destroys human beings and mankind, why would they allow it to continue to go? And the reason it is because what I just read to you, that statistics, $87.4 million. That's what rules. They don't care about people. They care about the money. There is a righteous God, and he will prevail in this world and in our lives. I mentioned a little bit, no matter how evil things appear to be in the world, no matter how much people justify themselves that they're going to make heaven or heaven their home, there is a righteous God, and He will prevail in this world and in our lives. Sometimes we look out there and we can get discouraged. Sometimes we can look at our family and we can get discouraged, or our friends or whatever. We look at things and we desire for them to really get an understanding of salvation, and they don't. But one day, God says, my righteousness will prevail out there in the world and will prevail in the lives of people. We have to make sure that our righteousness is right with God. There's a verse back over in Proverbs. I know, write it down. I can show you if you need it later on. It says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but this bringeth death. I guess every one of us in here, we can present a particular subject, and we may have multiple different ways that we all think. And I'm just talking about in general, really, not necessarily the Word of God. I can talk about in general. I could say, hey, how do you think these mics should be set up here? You know, like they are somewhere. And we might have four. I think you ought to put them here. We have different opinions. And the same thing is in the world with different opinions of how people want to make heaven their home. But the Word of God is strict and in one order of how to make heaven their home. In Romans 1 and 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I'm going to read that again because I'm going to read something else again and I want you to wait on. Romans 1 and 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Have you ever argued with somebody, and not necessarily argued, but debated, that some people, they don't think, they don't have any weight with this. This is nothing. I'll do what I want to do. I'll live the way I want to live. Unrighteous. God says, well, I'll bring that to judgment one day. I found this in Adam Clark, he mentioned with this verse here I just read, and I want to read this twice so you go through it slowly. Adam Clark says, those who refuse to be saved and the way revealed by His mercy must be consumed in the way revealed by His justice. Those who refuse to be saved in the way revealed by His mercy, God's merciful, God's long-suffering, God desires for every soul. The Bible says it's not His will that any be lost, but that all come to the place of salvation. It's His desire. And those that refuse that way that God has provided through salvation and has rejected that by His mercy and His love, His grace, they have to come to an understanding also that they must be consumed in the way revealed by His justice. The Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. That's why a lot of times when I pray, I say, I thank you, Lord, for another day. Amen. That you give to me to let's get things right. Let's make sure things are righteous. Lord, if I need to straighten out anything, I need to tweak anything, I need to do something. Because once my breath leaves my body and my soul leaves my body, that's it. I can't make any more decisions. Then I fall under the justice and of God. And that the mercy of God is today. And if I fall upon the mercy of God and follow Him, by grace of God, He'll have mercy on me. But that day that my soul leaves this body, I'm no longer under mercy, but I'm under His justice and His punishment. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all, to all men. Glory. Salvation, as the Bible lets us know, will appear and has appeared to every single soul. That we need to be encouraged with that, because sometimes the devil even battles me with that. Well, how do you know? I think even Sister Ann testified that
how do you know God dealt with that soul? They show no evidence. They show no remorse. They show no feelings of wanting to be saved, be a part of God's children. God must not have dealt with them somehow. But the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Because God could not be a just person, as I read to you a little bit ago, to refuse the souls of salvation, that then they'll have to be consumed and revealed by his justice. God cannot be a just God at the judgment bar if he doesn't know that at one time in their lives, he knows when he spoke to their heart, and they know it also. They may not reveal it, they may not acknowledge it, but God knows. Verse 12, teaching us, so let's read verse 11 and 12 time both together. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." He says there we need to be taught to deny ungodliness and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There are many times people say, well, we can't live holy until we get there. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus told the disciples. That's not Jesus instructed, that we should live these ways before God in this present world. Are we living righteous before God? And I can't answer that for you. You can't answer it for your husband, your wife, your children. You have to answer that for yourselves. Do you have a desire to live righteous before God? We are being influenced by unrighteousness every day. As we walk through this world, unrighteousness is influencing us every day. And we have the choice to either live unrighteous or righteous. After we get saved, we can live righteous by the grace and help of the Lord. But we can't live righteous until after we become saved. Until we come to a place to repent from sin, to ask God to forgive us, to ask him to have the blood of Jesus Christ to cover all of our sins, that we can be a child of God. Then we can have the power and the ability to live righteous. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Thank
you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. "Therefore, judging nothing before the time until the Lord come." Now look what he says here. Who will bring to the light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Paul says here in these verses that the hidden things of darkness will be revealed. There's a lot of times people feel they have certain things that are sinful or wicked or things, they're hidden. Nobody knows. You know, kind of how I say this really, but back when we were younger, in our teenage or 20 years, there may have been some things, now if we're saved, that's been covered under the blood, that we don't even remember. That we did, that was not pleasing to God, and we don't remember, or we did, and or you may have stole something. You might have gone into a store and sold at a candy bar, or told a lie or something like that when you were young. Don't even remember that. And even if someone, what was that? We were with some friends yesterday. What were they saying? Somebody, the father was telling a story about his daughter, that she did something. I forget what it was. And his daughter's 30 years old now. But she says, "It wasn't me, it was my brother." And she goes, "No." And his wife says, "No, it was her brother." He didn't remember that. So sometimes we forget some things, and those things, but God, just because we may forget them, God doesn't. He said, "Well, I don't remember doing some of those things. I don't remember telling a lie or stealing or doing these things back in the..." But God does.
And he says here in verse 5, the Lord who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of her heart. There's nothing hidden before God. The Bible says men like to do things in the darkness because their deeds are evil. There is no darkness with God. Everything is exposed, everything is understood. The Bible says he knows our mind. He knows our thoughts of our hearts, of our mind, and the intents of our hearts. He knows it.
Yeah.
People, I've heard mention this sometimes over years and things. People may say that someone had passed away and this or whatever, and they said, well, they took all their secrets to the grave. Well, they may not be known to you and I or the family or whatever, but God knows them all.
He does.
Many times in our world today, the old thing is, who shot John F. Kennedy? The mystery of all this, who really shot him? God knows all those things. God knows all the details of the secret parts of the government and every government across the world. They're not hidden. They're not on a computer. You say, well, they're on a computer and I don't know all the details. And you know, well, you go, if you get a phone, and I've gotten new phones sometimes, and you want to have all your stuff transferred over you, especially your pictures and all. They said, well, you put them in the cloud, right? And, you know, make sure you got them in the cloud. And even sometimes of that, they're disappeared. But some people can race them all out. But they tell me whatever conversations through text or phone, it is somewhere in the world. So the police, if they want to retract it somehow, they can find it if there's a murder or whatever. But with God, all things are before him. There is nothing hidden before God. But righteousness will prevail one day. People think we may have secret sins hidden. But it's not hidden before God. The story of David and Bathsheba one time. Most of us know the story. But David had gone out on his porch, I guess, there and seen Bathsheba. And she was bathing. And he was attracted to her and called her to his place. And they were known with one another. And a little bit later, as time went on, Bathsheba got word back to David that she was pregnant. Well, David calls her husband Uriah from the war and talks to him and tells him and everything. And, you know, have some food and things and go down and spend the night with your wife, trying to hide this. It's early in the pregnancy, nobody will really know it. He would go down and spend a night with his wife, and that would never, of course, today, then there was no understanding today that wouldn't work, but back then, there would never be there. Never, nobody would know. Well, Uriah didn't. He didn't go down because the men were on the battlefield. There was war going on. There was hurting, and people were being hurt and things, and he just didn't feel right. So he didn't go down. He slept there in the city there. So they got word back to David, and David called Uriah up, and he said, why didn't you go down there? And he told him, so David feeds him some food and gets him drunk, thinking he'd go down. But he still didn't go down. So David calls some other captains in, and he tells them what to do. They said, take Uriah out there in the front of the battle. When the battle is really hot, everybody retreat, leave him out there, and he got killed. David planned all that. And then Nathan comes in. And Nathan tells him a story about two men that had sheep. One man had a lot of sheep. One man only had just one small little sheep that he loved and he cared for. I was reading a little bit on that this week too, and it said some were one of the reasons because David was a shepherd. This really touched David's heart. So David, and you know the story, this man that had a lot of sheep had some people come in, and he took the man that only had the one little sheep. He took him from him and killed him, and they ate that sheep. And David was furious. And he says, who is this man? Let us go find him and punish him. And Nathan said, David, you're the man. You had done the sin that you thought you kept so secret. And sometimes, sometimes we can be in trouble with that sometimes too. To rearrange things, this is what happened to relieve the guilt from us. It infuriates me today that I see women holding signs up that I have the privilege to do what I want to do with my own body, as far as abortion. What you have the privilege to do is to not commit fornication to begin with. And if you do have a child, to give that up if you need to, abortion is not an option. But people say, I have that ability, I have that privilege, and there's all kind of different things that people can do or try to do to try to hide the sin that they've done to take that away. But God knows all these things. God says nothing's hid. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." Let's go to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Every single one of us, in one day, we're going to sit under a righteous God. I've told you some time past when I first got saved, and there was one particular song I first started to sing. There was a song that I sang, and later, you know, I realized that wasn't a true song. I never just sang that song, but it says, I don't remember how all the words, but it says, "When I get to heaven, and you're collecting your jewels, Lord, it's not judgment I need, but mercy." Yeah. Well, there's no mercy at the judgment bar of God. Today is a day of mercy. Today is a day of salvation. When we die and we stand before God at the judgment bar of God, that's judgment. That's time of judgment. And he says here in Hosea there, chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness." What are you sowing to yourself today? Are you sowing righteousness? Is there unrighteousness somewhere? "Reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground." That breaking up the fallow ground, most of us, I believe, understand what that is. You ever had a garden or whatever, and you go out there and till the ground up, and then you get it all nice and tilled up and soft and moist and everything to where you can plant. But then you let it sit for a period of time. Let it sit for, you know, sometimes people go out there and till the ground up early spring, maybe not even spring yet, and they get that first ground broken up. And then they let it sit for a period of time until it's ready to plant. Well, they can't put anything in the ground because now it's gotten hard again. They got to break it back up. You know, sometimes in salvation, we can get saved. We can get sanctified and saved. But because things in life or whatever trial, we let things get stale. And we're not diligent in our prayer. We're not diligent in the reading. We're not diligent in the services of God. We're not pushing ourselves to serve. And we get stale. And we fall away from the things of God. And we fall out of that relationship with God. God says, you got to get back. You got to get back to where you were. You got to break up some ground. Get back to where you should be. That's what he says there in that verse. He says, "Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Are you living in righteousness? Well, Lord, maybe my righteousness hasn't been what it should be. Well, let's thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his mercy all the time. If we are saved and we've seen to fall away a little bit, and God's merciful love to show us, hey, come on back. Get back where you should be. Thank God. And we do that. God is merciful. Merciful. And he says there, he says, "Break up, for it is time to seek the Lord till you come, till he comes and rain righteousness upon you." God does not reveal things to us. God does not show you anything. Now get this thought, because I believe this 100%. God does not reveal or show us anything to punish us. Never. He doesn't show you a fault that you have. He doesn't show you where you're coming up short
to punish you or to criticize you in any way. He shows you that to help you.
I worked in one place, and I wasn't there at this particular time when this went on, but one particular man, he was put in charge of a certain group, and he thought it was a part of being the foreman of that group. He thought it was interesting. He put a board up on the wall. Big, I think it was a white board he put up there. And anytime somebody made a mistake, he wrote their name down, and they called it the board of shame. He wrote their name down. You know, Doug, he left the bolt out. You know, whoever, they did this, that dude did that. And he wrote that down. I'm thinking, how disgraceful that is. God never does that. God never does anything to embarrass us, to criticize us. He does it to help us. He sees us falling away a little bit. He goes, break up the fallow ground. Break up that ground where you've left, get dormant too long. Let's clean that up. Let's get back to where we were and get back into righteousness. He reveals to bring us into his righteousness, not to punish, not to criticize. We read over there in Corinthians 4 and 5 there, he says, God reveals the hidden things. When God reveals something to you that's maybe we're not up to par in, he does it because he loves you. He does it because he cares for you. He does it because he wants you to make heaven your home above all things. It's not his will that any soul be lost, but that all become the righteous. God does it because he loves you. He says he reveals the hidden things. He points the hidden things out. There's nothing hidden before God. You know, the men that brought in the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, they exposed her. They criticized her. They condemned her. Lord, and they were trying to condemn Christ. Find some reason to condemn him. Lord, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now Moses' law says she should be stoned. What do you say? You know the story. Jesus got down on the ground and he started writing some things on the ground. And no doubt our minds are pretty, I think we're pretty stable in that thought. He wrote some things that those Jews and different ones had hidden in their personal lives. Because the Bible says, as he wrote some things down and he looked up at him, he goes, they that are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. Well, probably the seniors of the group there, they were convicted by what he had written down on there, and they left. One by one, the Bible says. Before long, there was no one left there but the woman that was actually accused of a sin. And he says, where are those that accuse you? She says, nobody. Everybody's gone. And she called him Lord. He goes, neither do I condemn you. But go and sin no more. God's righteousness to her was expanded. The woman at the well, Jesus met with her. Told her to go call her husband. She says, I don't have any husband. He says, that's right, you don't have any husband, but you've had five, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. Before that day was over, this woman, I believe, found salvation. And not only did she find salvation, she went in and told the entire town, and they came out and they found salvation. He didn't expose any hidden things to condemn or criticize, but to bring them to righteousness, that we may make heaven our home. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow to yourself in righteousness, break up the fallow ground. God's righteousness will prevail. It will prevail here or at the judgment. God's righteousness will prevail here or at the judgment. And I thank God as we get saved, we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and his blood covers our sins. And all those hidden things, all those secret sins, all those open sins, all those sins that we did, the Bible says, God says, I just gather them up
and I cast them as far as the east is the west, never more to remember them anyway. That's when the only hidden things that God says, I won't bring of righteous, I won't reveal, those things to be cast away. And by the grace of God, that's our righteousness today. We want to have righteousness before God by having the blood of Christ to cover all of our sins. But his righteousness will prevail. And if we accept it today, if we accept God's righteousness today, thank God, when we stand before him, and by the help of the Lord, that's my desire. I stand before him. I want to willingly come to him and say, Lord and Savior. The Bible says there will be a day at the judgment. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Savior. There will be some that will be made to do that, not because they desire, because they will be made to do that. But I thank God for the saints of God that are living in righteousness today. They will have a desire, a longing to do that, to be at the feet of Christ. The word, or the title, righteousness will prevail. And again, I'll read that one last time. The word prevail, to prove more powerful than the opposing force, to be victorious. And of course, that's over the enemy of the soul and the love of the things of this world. God's righteousness is more powerful than the devil. Thank God. I thank God for that. You know, when the enemy came against Job, well, he went to the Lord first, and he says, have you considered my servant Job? He goes, I have, but you've got protection around him. Thank God for protection, saints. Thank God for the protection, those walls of salvation I used to sing about many years ago. Thank God for the walls of salvation. The devil can only go so far, and the God will not allow him to go any further than he knows that we cannot stand against, that he cannot provide the grace to be able to go through. And anytime the enemy goes, it gets to us to a point where the Lord feels that we're being overtaken, the Lord can just retract the enemy from us. Thank God for that. His righteousness will prevail. Are we in the righteousness of God? Are we living righteous? Are we having a desire, Lord, I want your righteousness to be upon me. I want your righteousness to be in my life and through my life. By the grace of God. May we have a song as we close.
Okay, let's open our song book and turn to page 154. 154.
Wider than small. To Jesus I give up my call. Every treasure I know. For his fullness of blessing I call. To his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus says, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus says, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I am trusting in Jesus alone, trusting not his salvation to know, and his blood does so fully atone. I am washed and lighter than snow. I believe Jesus says, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus said, and his blood washes whiter than snow.
Have to wait. I think I took the elevator in my building this morning, first time ever took it to church, because it's easier to walk up than to walk down.
That's true. Puts pressure on
you. I don't know what's going on. I don't have no idea, but it's twice the size of the body, and it's extra.
Carol, you got 5-1.
Yes. Yes.
How are you doing?
5-1.
Thank you, sir.
I'm in the bank.
You're the bank?
You keep put this person on my desk. I mean, on my seat. Thank you, Lauren.
Your sister likes to try to confuse me, and it doesn't take much.
I gotta give Jerry her ketchup.
I told you
about the ketchup.
Keep it up with all us old people. We're gonna put a ramp on your success.
I even thought just getting a piece of board, you know, with putting a piece of compost back where it won't slide or like the stuff that you put in your kitchen.
Yeah.
And just sitting out there, you know,
Here's my new idea.
It needs to be flat, open, but just like a little bit of a wedge, just like that. Okay,
that's
it.
I'm 26.
Well, there is a little ridge at the bottom of the bolster. And you know the kitchen stuff that you put in and slide, put a piece of glue down on it. You know, that's all I need to really make. I don't want to make a big deal out of it.
Right. So, the last Thursday, I got adopted.
I guess it would have where I'd be a stinker. It'd have to be pretty thick.
I won't wait too long in case I need that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Wait to see what he says.
I'm late. About a mile and a half.
key.
Thank you.
How old is your elder? Have a good afternoon.
Right.